足够那一点。She's losing all his money and losing his pride. Oh, traveling man.
That's Mike McKenna Jr. with the title track from his latest album. It's entitled Travelin' Man, and he is our special guest in the studio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. Great to have you join us today, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
You, I gather, I grew up in Cape Breton. You now call Montreal home. You're very, I would say, the classic troubadour singer-songwriter. But tell us a little bit about your music. As I mentioned, I think you grew up in Cape Breton?
I did, yeah. I started on Celtic music, you know, when I was a little boy. My mom's from Glace Bay, which is a good working class town, coal mining, fishing town. And my mom's father really wanted me to push me into keeping Cape Breton culture and keeping on in with the tradition. He spoke Gaelic as a child, and he had, you know, some family members that would play the fiddle and play piano, and it became a part of his upbringing. But he kind of lost touch with that as he got older. So when I was 6 or 7 years old, they started me on Cape Breton fiddle, and I played that well into my teens. And I actually remember my grandfather flying in a fiddle maker, and him and the fiddle maker, my fiddle teacher, sitting around the table at my teacher's house, and just playing cards and smoking and drinking. And they basically said to me, "You go downstairs and you play all the fiddles that this luthier brought with him, and you pick whichever one you want." And so I did, and that became my instrument, and I still keep this. This is the only fiddle I own, and probably the only one I ever will. And I played that next to my grandfather on his deathbed when he was dying, and that became, you know, of all the instruments that I have, that became a really unique and very important instrument to me. So that was kind of that, you know, that experience kicked off my, you know, my music life. And you know, after he passed away, I didn't really play fiddle much anymore. And I picked up guitar when I was maybe 16, 17, I started playing. And just a change of pace too. It wasn't just about, you know, walking away from Celtic music. I love Celtic music. But there was the storytelling aspect of, you know, even Eastern Canadian folk music, or, you know, I got into a little bit of Neil Young and James Taylor, and Dave Matthews is pretty big at the time, you know. So these storytelling guys, you know, it resonated with me. And so picking up kind of some songs that I could play around the kitchen, around the, you know, that were more accessible, you know, say, than playing, you know, our classic Kaylee's, which my family loves. And, you know, but when I was in high school, my friends didn't necessarily listen to traditional music, you know. They listened to a lot of pop and rock and hip hop and everything else. So yeah, guitar became a way for me to kind of connect with my peers in that way. And I don't think I started writing songs until maybe my mid-20s. So I had a good 10 years of kind of just accumulating tunes and experimenting with my guitar playing a little bit. So.
And you decided to leave Cape Breton to move to Montreal. Was that because you felt you needed maybe a little distance between you and the strong Celtic culture that exists there?
You know, it's funny you ask that. That's a really big part of why I went there. And Montreal is just a great artist community. It doesn't matter if you're a visual artist or a musician. You know, it's very vibrant, and it's just got this. You know, you'd know if you visited any city in North America. When you go to Montreal, there's this kind of underlying vibe there. And my sister moved there. My older sister moved there before I did. So I kind of followed in her footsteps, and I got there, and I just couldn't leave. You know, and the scene on the East Coast. You know, the people really punch above their weight in Nova Scotia in terms of, you know, a population that's less than 1 million people, the whole province. And there's a lot of singer-songwriters, and there's a lot, you know, it's a tough little, you know, market to make it in, actually, you know. And it's for having such a small population, you know, they have a lot of great musicians, a lot of great music. So yeah, there was part of me that wanted to just take a step outside of that and maybe come back to it at some point. But stepping outside, it led me, I think, to writing more music that was kind of natured about, you know, leaving home, and, you know, and songs that kind of, even though I wasn't necessarily working on the oil rigs like a lot of my friends, you know, leaving the Maritimes, I kind of experienced that, you know, almost like a withdrawal that you get from home, you know. And I wasn't necessarily one of the ones that left for, you know, more economic reasons, but I did have a lot of friends that left for work, and some of them came back, or they're slowly kind of coming back now, but some of them never did. Some of them set up shop in Alberta, and that was kind of it. So Montreal's a little closer, but, you know.
So do you find that it's sort of, now that you don't live on Cape Breton, you actually have more of an opportunity to reflect on past, your heritage? Because I think your father's originally from Boston.
He is. And that's nice, living in Montreal, is that I'm very central. So I have a really huge Irish-American family down in Massachusetts, and Montreal allows me to kind of be central. I can, you know, I say I can just pop over to Cape Breton. It's a 16-hour drive, but I mean, I'm still central to family that I have in Toronto, Boston, and the Maritimes, being in Montreal. But yeah, it did allow me to kind of leave and reflect, and it probably allowed me to. I find you learn a lot about your own home by leaving it, you know, and that goes for Canada too. I lived in Australia and China for a bit too, and I learned a lot about what it is to be Canadian, and what are the things that make us different from others. And a lot of the things that I value about home came from being away from it.
So tell us a little bit about Traveling Man. I was thinking both the album and then the song itself.
Sure. I probably started writing this maybe about two and a half years ago, and this was the overall theme was definitely, whether or not it was directly me or not, you know, some of these songs are about other people, or fictional characters, but for the most part, it was somebody that was leaving Cape Breton, and it's a very common theme, and hasn't really had quite the opportunity to make it back, other than things like funerals and weddings and things that tend to be typical reasons for us to go back. And yeah, Traveling Man, the song, I like to take some stories from different people that I meet along the way. You know, if I find a little interesting tidbit here, or you know, just this person has kind of an interesting way about themselves or perspective, I sometimes combine those into one song or one fictional character. And that's what Traveling Man was. Traveling Man, the song itself, is about a Vietnam draft dodger. So somebody that's coming up to escape to Canada, and they have a friend that allows them to get passage over the border on a First Nations reserve. And I actually do have a friend that has used that, you know, very, controversial method of crossing the border. So yeah, that particular tune, I kind of took it from a perspective of somebody that I did meet along the way that was a draft dodger, and then another friend of mine that is still kind of a current friend that, you know, is a bit of a traveler himself. He's from Ireland, and he is he's the actual travelers community of Ireland was kind of, you know, part of the lyric itself. So yeah, that tune's a combination of a bunch, you know. The overall concept of the album, though, that kind of touches on. I like to touch a little bit on my American culture, my American side, because the person in that particular song is an American, you know, which is why I actually use the word Indian, as opposed to in Canada we use First Nations, because that tends to be much more common, especially from that era. You know, I never like to use that to, you know, just. You know, for no reason. I kind of try to think of what is the context of it. You know, and so that particular tune, I really like playing live. It has some nice energy to it. And compared to the rest of the album, you know, the other song's a little more introspective. You know, The Highway is kind of a maritime ghost story.
Well, let's play a track right now. Actually, sure. The Highway is one of the songs that
sure.
We talked about maybe playing live today. Tell us a little bit about that song.
Well, The Highway. It was funny. Living in Montreal, I was about to drive home for Christmas one year, and I had stopped in. I was living in a part of Montreal called Little Burgundy, and it's an antique district. And I popped into one of the stores looking for a present for my mother, and I found this little antique box that said Dominion Coal and Steel on the side. And this was the company that would have shipped coal across Canada and would have shipped steel across Canada. And so in Cape Breton, you know, growing up in a coal mining town. This box I thought would be perfect for my mom, you know. So I bought it and I had it in my room just before I was heading out. And I remember sitting on my bed looking at it in Dominion Coal and Steel, and kind of rang out in my head. And I got a bit of a lyric from it, and the song kind of grew from there. Like I don't always start them from the beginning and just kind of fall. Sometimes they start in the middle and then I throw a verse at the beginning. I'm kind of scattered when I piece together songs. So that song kind of just started with the lyric, but it's based on a police officer. You know, an RCMP officer that is searching for a fugitive, pulls over a car believing that this might be the person, asks, you know, everything seems to be going well. Person presents their car. They ask to go in the back and have a look what's in the back of the truck, and the person pulls a gun on them. So it's a situation that does happen to highway policemen, and I tried to give a slightly more introspective point of view, because I think we tend to look at a policeman's job and have a hard time relating, because it's a very, very, very different career than the rest of us are used to.
Yeah, it seems to be very much black and white.
Very much.
They don't like to have any gray areas in there. Let's play that song just now. This
sure.
is Mike McKenna Jr. live for Folk Roots Radio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. And this is The Highway.
Well, he passes now and then as I watch over the highway. When I'm looking from overhead for a killer running free. Well, the late shift took its toll and I pulled one over again.
and I struggled to see a face inside, so I slowly drew my weapon. And he rolled the window down, presented me his card. For Dominion coal and steel I drive, I'm not going very far. Well, sir, you are going 105, and I'm gonna have to check your load. And without a hesitation, I was looking down the barrel. Of a fully loaded gun, I saw flashes of my life. I'd only just had met my daughter, I'd a newly wedded wife. And I said, sir, please settle down, I'll just lay down on the ground. But he must have pulled the trigger, for the words were out my mouth. Well, he passes now and then as I watch over the highway, and I'm looking from overhead for a killer running free.
That's Mike McKenna Jr. with The Highway from his latest album. It's entitled Traveling Man. He's our special guest in the mobile studio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. When you listen to that song, you really get the feel about how important it is for you to be able to tell stories.
Yeah, and for sure.
I noticed that actually I had a chance to introduce you a couple of times at this year's conference, and you seem very comfortable sharing stories in between the songs. I mean, does that fit very much with your idea of, you know, what a singer-songwriter should be doing?
Yeah, it really does. You know, and I feel like, you know, there's nothing wrong with playing music just for the sake of the music itself. There's nothing wrong with making a painting just because it looks beautiful, you know, but there is something nice when you see something that has that aesthetic appeal, but does have some meaning behind it. And I really connect with songs like that. And so I like to try to write some that have some that kind of resonate with people myself, and, you know, telling stories and giving sometimes the background, you know, as much as somebody can be bobbing their head and getting really into a song, when you give them just a little bit and not too much, but if you give them a little bit of background information, sometimes that person just can get much deeper on that song than they would have without some kind of context. So I like to give some kind of little explanation before each one. I find that really helps set up what I do in particular.
Can we get you to play another one?
Absolutely.
There's another song, Little Things, that we talked about playing.
Yeah, Little Things is a song that, you know, that this whole record really means a lot to me. But, you know, this tune in particular was a little more difficult for me to play at the beginning. You know, my grandmother babysat me when I was a little boy, and this was kind of my experience, not only growing up being raised by her, but she got Alzheimer's later into her life. And there was a time where I had to come back to Cape Breton, you know, staying with this, obviously, the theme of the album, from Montreal, and I was driving home, and she wasn't well, you know, and I was going home for one of those reasons that, you know, isn't necessarily a fun vacation for you to go home. At the same time, the drive back to Nova Scotia, you know, especially as you're getting into Cape Breton, which, you know, I'm obviously very biased, but it's a really beautiful drive, and I hadn't really had an opportunity to just go for a long drive like that by myself in a really long time. And so that drive gave me time to reflect, and this song was a bit of chunks of moments of a little bit of my childhood, a little bit from that experience of going home when she was passing away. And at the same time, I wanted the song to have some kind of warmth and be relaxed and not be too you know, I didn't want it to be a somber song. That's why I like it to be kind of a relaxed, slightly happier song. Because she wouldn't want me sitting around complaining. You know, she'd be happy to see me here for sure. So yeah, this tune is called Little Things.
When I was just a boy, my grandmother said to me, said, dear man, I'm old and I lose my mind, need to take care of me. Before she passed on, oh, I was given one more day. Heard her voice again in my head and my thoughts drifting on away. Well, I feel it's been forever since I had the pleasure in driving this point in my life. I miss the little things. Sometimes being alone is good for the soul. More time with my mind, yeah. More time as I'm growing old. Someday I'll meet you there, yeah. Someday, Lord, I'll meet you there, yeah, yeah, oh. Someday, I'll meet you there, yeah, mm. Oh, 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 oh. I can see so clearly my first memory. I'm on your lap in a rocking chair, cutting pears while we watch TV. And you always watched over me, all like I knew you would. And you barely recognized my face, this part I never understood. And someday, well, I'll meet you there, yeah. Someday I'll meet you there, yeah, yeah, oh. And someday I'll meet you there, yeah, yeah, mm. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, someday, someday, someday I'll meet you there, yeah. Oh, someday. Yeah, well, someday, someday, someday I'll meet you there. Oh, someday.
That's Mike McKenna Jr. with The Highway from his latest album. It's entitled Traveling Man. He's our special guest in the mobile studio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. And that's a song from his latest album. It's entitled Traveling Man. But I think, Mike, you're going to be working on a new album fairly shortly.
Yeah, actually, I'm still writing a bit for it right now, but I'm going to start recording my first full-length album the beginning of December, so I'm pretty excited about that. You know, some of these songs being my first full-length album, you know, some of these songs I've been sitting on for a while, some of them I'm newly writing, but I'm really looking forward to this process too. You know, some of the other musicians that I'm looking forward to, you know, I don't want to jump into any names or anything right now because I'm still kind of working that out, but, you know, that's another aspect that I'm excited, is to work with some people that I haven't worked with before, but I admire their work. So yeah, this is going to be a big experience for me.
Great. We're going to dip back into the album with another live song. And we talked about at the start the fact that a lot of your songs are built around the idea of this reflection about, you know, growing up in Cape Breton, the fact that people do have to move for work, particularly because of the changes in industry in that area. I'm going to get you to play Die in the West. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that song?
Yeah, well, Die in the West, you know, I wrote this a few years ago, kind of right, you know, it was a little bit before the oil industry was starting to see a bit of its bust. And, you know, all of my best friends growing up went out and worked as roughnecks on the rig at one point or another, and some of them still do. And they'd come back and they'd tell me stories about it. And, you know, I've done labor jobs myself. You know, my family is a roofing family in Massachusetts. I've done steel construction and irrigation, and I've worked cutting trees in the woods, you know. So I definitely get the aspect of labor jobs. I can tell you that definitely pointed me in the direction of a music career. You know, it was something that I was like, you know, I don't want to do that the rest of my life, you know. But I totally respect the people that do, you know, it's work that has to get done. And the oil industry became kind of a saving grace for the Maritimes in a lot of ways, because, you know, we, for hundreds of years, the cod fishery, you know, the coal mines, we were a really big part of the industry in the Maritimes. And when we saw those shut down, and then subsequently the steel factory in Sydney in my hometown shut down, and a lot of people were out of work very quickly, you know, they did what they knew, which was working with their hands. And when the oil industry was offering so many, you know, well-paying jobs, a lot of people moved out there pretty quickly. And, you know, and it wasn't just young guys, the way, you know, seeing some of my friends move. It was some of my friends' dads moving and not, you know, and that was tough on some families and stuff too. So yeah, it was it had a big impact on my upbringing. You know, just seeing that was kind of the future of Cape Breton was kind of being a bit drained, you know. And I see it every time I go back now, and it's still a really beautiful place. But you know, it's taken its toll, and I think this song for me was a way to give my own little bite of social commentary on what I think it's like for somebody going through that. Kind of being tugged back and forth and having a home that's, it's not that you can't go back to Cape Breton, but you know, for some of these guys, you know, having that same kind of job back at home is impossible. So yeah, I'll play this tune for you. Die in the West for me is, you know, being a ballad. It was one of my friends says to me, what are you going to do with a 6-minute song? Yeah. So this is what I'm going to do. You know, for me, it's not really, you know, it might not be meant for your mainstream radio stations or meant for, you know, some flashy music video. You know, that's not the purpose of the song, you know. And so I'm more than happy to play for you today, because it's exactly the place that I think it's received the best.
Well, I keep coming home just to see you, my dear. My parents are old and the time's coming near. My pockets are rich, my back's getting poor, yeah. But you know I keep my chin high, my feet on the floor. Well, it must have been some time since I last seen you, since you waved me goodbye from your living room. And the company just paid my flight to come home, yeah. But you know a week off ain't much when you travel alone. And I said I know that our love can just never be. As long as I need Fort McMurray. Love, you know how much I miss the sea, the breeze on the Myra River. Oh, the nights spent with you were the best. But as long as there's work on the oil rigs, my lover, I'll leave you my heart, but I'll die in the West. Even out on the rigs, I found maritime charm. as I worked at the side of my brothers in arms. We had the lads from the Rock and the mainlanders too, yeah. 'Cause when you're this far from home, you connect by your roots. You see, my grandfather spent half his life underground, yeah. And oh, his lungs were so black that he may as well drown. And now I don't wish for my children to see, no, their old man to look 50 when he's 33. And I said, I know that our love can just never be. As I need Fort McMurray, love, you know how much I miss the sea, the breeze on the Myra River. The nights spent with you were the best, yeah. But as long as there's work on the oil rigs, my lover, I'll leave you my heart, but I'll die in the west. Baby, I know that you love the East Coast. So I raise up my glass and I offer a toast to our last visit before I go back, yeah. Just to bank up my money while the oil sands last. But oh, you must tell my son where he'll bury me. In the soil of Cape Breton, I'd much rather be. And I hope I can save enough money to rest, yeah. When the time comes across my arms over my chest. And I said, I know our love can just never be. As long as I need Fort McMurray, love, you know how much I miss the sea, the breeze on the Myra River. The nights spent with you were the best, yeah. But as long as there's work on the oil rigs, my lover, I'll leave you my heart, but I'll die in the. And I said, I know that our love can just never be. As long as I need Fort McMurray, love, you know how much I miss the sea and the breeze on the Myra River. The nights spent with you were the best, yeah. But as long as there's work on the oil rigs, my lover, I'll leave you my heart, but I'll die in the west.
That's Mike McKenna Jr. live in the Folk Roots Radio studio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference. That song has a you can get that real Celtic Cape Breton feel to that. You sing kind of with a little bit of a
Celtic
lilt. Little bit of a Celtic lilt there.
You know what? It's funny that's I sang everything like that at the beginning, you know, and that great. It came from, you know, as a kid we listened to the Rankin family a lot, and you know we loved Celtic traditional. And when I was a little boy, I'd play the fiddle, and my sisters would step dance and that kind of, you know, and. Yeah, see, there I go tapping my foot, you know, which I had to be told by some people I jammed with, you know, in Montreal for the first time who weren't into Celtic music. They're like, Mike, stop stamping your foot. Mike, you're speeding up on every song. And I was like, you know, this was a part of the way that we played. But, you know, so I reeled that in a little bit. But that, because that was one of the first songs that I wrote, I still kind of sang it in that style. So I've kind of, you know, I've seen, after seeing videos of myself over time, that it's, you know, my voice has changed over the year. My voice is an instrument like any other. And, you know, the more artists that have inspired me over the years, the more my style has changed in my vocal. But I think that song, it does remain a little bit of that Celtic lull, and which is, you know, which I kind of like to keep it that way, because for me, this is that, you know, that, that Gaelic worker song for me. In
exactly. Yeah. And I think that comes over really well. It's a great song. And I was
Thank
really
you
pleased
much.
You shared that with us today. Tell us a little bit about the live experience.
You mean playing live, you know,
yeah,
relative
I mean,
to the...
Yeah, I mean, I typically you play solo?
I do, you know, over the past year or so, I've pretty much been playing solo, you know, and I did play with in a duo with Kento Katoka, and he co-produces this record with me, and he's on a considerable number of the tracks. He's a great multi-instrumentalist, you know, and after some time, you know, I had gone to China for a year, and I lived in China for a year, and I was, you know, I was teaching there, and I was playing music there, and I was writing. And when I came back, you know, some of the people that I had been playing with at the time were playing in different bands, and I just decided, you know, I've been playing solo in China so much that I decided to kind of just pick up where I left off when I got back here and go the solo route. And it's a different experience. You know, playing with other musicians on stage can be great. You know, you can put on a very different show. Whereas I feel like for certain songs that have a story background to them, certain songs that have some kind of history or some kind of meaning, playing solo allows you to deliver it in a slightly more intimate way. You know, I think people tend to focus on the lyrics a little bit more when you play solo. So that experience for me in China changed everything for me. You know, I had a tough time communicating with people over there while I was on stage. In between, my tendency to sit there and be chatty in between songs was kind of nullified when you have a language barrier, you know. So getting up there and kind of trying to remain funny and make that audience connection became a much bigger challenge. And it was a huge sigh of relief when I got back. You know, I loved my experience over there, and there were plenty of people that did connect with my music, you know. But when I got back here, being able to have that conversation with the audience put me at ease. It was great to be back in Canada when I got to kind of share these songs for the first time. I released "Traveling Man," you know, as kind of shorter, smaller version while I was in China. That was when I first recorded, just before I moved over there, and I released some of the songs from it. But then I did a proper release when I came back, and this May 7th, I released it with 6 tracks and. And so before that, I basically had been playing solo so much that even though the whole album is a live band, you know, I kind of liked the idea of when I did get the chance to tour and kind of share this album, of doing a stripped down version of it. And that way I can kind of have the room and have that audience connection to give the explanations that I want to give.
If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
Well, MikeMcKennaJr.com is my website. And from there, you can find all my social networks. But my handle on Twitter, on SoundCloud, on Instagram is all Mike McKenna Jr., just one word. So my music's available for streaming free. And I'm on YouTube. You can buy my record online, but I'm findable.
I'd like to finish with a track from the album. And we're going to finish with actually the first track, but it actually fits pretty well with... finishing this interview, and that's Take Me Home. Tell us about that one.
Well, Take Me Home, I did write while I was in China. So that was one of the, when I did the actual album release in May, that was one of the additional tracks that I added. And that's a tune that, you know, the theme of this album kind of having a lot to do with, you know, my friends and family and my, you know, and my connection to Cape Breton. This song was about my dad, and, you know, being from Boston, he was kind of an outsider when I was growing up, and that, you know, people don't think of Americans as immigrants here. You know, they, you know, we're neighbors, we're cousins, you know, Americans to us are very similar, you know, so it's, but my dad was an immigrant growing up, and there was an aspect of him being treated as such at you know, when I was a little kid, and he always had this nostalgia for home, and he loves Cape Breton, and he did find his place there. I grew up on the Mira River, which I mentioned in Die in the West, and you know, rivers, like they have their own source of inspiration when it comes to music. And there was this thing that my dad told me when I was a little kid. And he's like, "Son, when I die, I want you to throw my ashes into the river so I can swim home to Boston." You know, and I just feel like, "Dad, what are you talking about?" You know, like, it's like, I think that's illegal. You know, But, you know, it always, you know, there's a visual you get from that, you know, on the boat and, you know, like spread the ashes and everything. And me and my sisters always got a kick out of that story. We're like, Dad, you're nuts. You know, like just this visual of swimming home and everything. So, you know, when I was in China and, you know, I kind of thought that when I would get over there, I would write some things that, you know, that I would be inspired of by being in China. And I was just more inspired about home being so far from away from it. So I wrote that song kind of as a, you know, is a, it's part fiction. You know, my dad's not an alcoholic like the,
oh, that's
like,
good.
You know, like the, you know, obviously the fictional character in the song is, you know, but it is a bit about him meeting my mom. You know, they met at St. Francis Xavier University in Antigonish, and my dad really never left. You know, he's been in Canada since 1980. So yeah, this Take Me Home was a bit about my dad's experience of coming up and, you know, trying to find his place in Canada.
It's been great to talk to you today. This is Mike McKenna Jr. from the album Traveling Man, and this is Take Me Home. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio at the Folk Music Ontario Conference, and I'm Jan Hall. Thanks again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Take me, son, oh, take me to the river when I die. Won't you pour my ashes overboard so I can float on back to all the sweet things that I left behind so many years ago. Son, please let that river take me home. Hitch my way up north to find the better part of me. And the day I met your mama was the smartest thing I'd ever done today. But I drank too much, she kicked me to the street, 'cause I wasn't yet the man I need to be. No. So take me, son, oh, take me to river when I die. Won't you pour my ashes overboard so I can float on back to all the sweet things I left behind so many years ago. Well, son, please let that river take me home. Take me home. Take me home. Well, it wasn't long I saw her with another boy in hand. There's a leather on my boot is raw. I landed my fist upon his jaw real quick, and I saw past his greedy yellow smile. He was trying to have your mama on the side. So take me, son, oh, take me to the river when I die. Won't you pour my ashes overboard so I can float on back to all the sweet things that I left behind so many years ago. Son, please let that river take me home. Of land, and I built her a house with my bare hands, and I swore to her that I'd be damned if I go back home to Boston where I was born, where my folks live on. So take me, son. me to the river when I die. Should pour some whiskey overboard so I can have a couple drinks with our good Lord while we watch over your mama for I can't leave her alone. Son, please let that river take me. I said, son, please let that river take me home. Take me home. Take me home. Take me home.